2012, an amazing year for science, don't you think? Let's see why. Mars, dark matter, rape, fire, and the Olympics. Just huge. Hello, I'm Robin Williams, and we begin this science show on RN with CCS, carbon capture and storage. The capture part costs lots, 70% of the big bill. Paul Webley is Professor of Chemical Engineering at the University of Melbourne, and he thinks they have an answer to the second part.
Storage in terms of cost is much lower than the capture. The actual technology of the storage is reasonably straightforward. People have been storing CO2 for many years.
And where do you come into the picture?
We've developed a series of different materials, adsorbents, which are like sponges, which soak up CO2, and hopefully not the nitrogen and the other components in the stream.
So what is it actually, a membrane?
It's called a zeolite. It's a mineral. It looks like sand if you were to look at it, and it's a pretty straightforward type of material.
Where'd you get it?
The ones that we make in the lab, we actually synthesize from solution, but you can buy them. They're used as detergents. They're very widely available.
And cheaply?
Pretty cheap. They're probably maybe a dollar a kilogram.
Are you suggesting that you've made the whole process much cheaper and straightforward, such that in a short time, 5-10 years, we may have a system that could work on a fairly large basis?
We are working on technologies that I would say are next generation. So we're targeting 20-30 years away, and we would say that, yes, the cost advantages would be significant in 20-30 years. The conventional technology for carbon capture is to scrub the CO2 with the liquid. And that's what will happen in the first generation of carbon capture plants that will go in. So I would say our technology is targeted at next generation, 20, 30 years.
Do we have 20 or 30 years?
We can't wait for second generation in 20, 30 years. We've got to start implementing first generation in the next 5-10 years with conventional scrubbing technology, which will improve. This is important to remember that we're targeting a cost reduction, but the goalposts are moving so that whatever we try and target may well be achieved by first generation technology in 10, 15 years' time.
Do you imagine that in 10 years or 15 years' time we will have those carbon capture and storage setups that can actually do the job on a scale that's required?
I think we will have, in 5 to 10 years, plants that can do on a relatively small scale compared to what's required, but larger than what is currently available. I would say in maybe 10, 15 years' time, we will have one or two plants that are on the scale required, which will be tens of thousands of tons per day of capture.
Well, you would have been monitoring the news out of Doha, the climate convention, and also the discussions from the World Bank and several other places over the last couple of weeks about the fact that we're facing 4 degrees, 5 degrees, which sounds horrendous. Can the technology cope, do you think, in the near future?
I think what's important to emphasize with the technology is that it's only one component of many things that has to happen. So if you look at all of the roadmaps for CCS, they're not suggesting that we're only going to do CCS and nothing else. We're going to do CCS in addition to many other things. And so every component is perhaps contributing 10-15%, of which one of them is CCS. Can we get them all in place? Some of them are faster than others. This is why CCS is being promoted. It's a fast technology that, when I say fast, 10-15 years, compared to completely converting our fleet of coal-fired power plants into renewable plants, which may take us 50-100 years. We don't have 50-100 years to wait. So some of the things we have to do quickly, other things we have to continue to work on and phase them in over the next 50-100 years.
What state is your technology in at the moment? Is it small-scale experimental or what?
Our technology is currently a combination of bench scale, pilot scale. We have a unit running at the Hazelwood power plant, so it's on a 1 to 10 ton per day scale, so it's still relatively small. Yep.
What do you require to get it up to big scale?
A lot more science, a lot more R&D, a lot more money, a lot more funding, and a lot more political will to put effort into the technology.
Paul, you've summed it up. What are the prospects?
I think the prospects are very good. We just need political will is the problem. It's not the scientists. Lots of clever scientists working on it. We just need the political will to implement it. And it wouldn't hurt for a few more, you know, global events. We'll heighten people's focus very quickly that something really has to be done urgently.
Tell me about the editorial in Nature.
Well, I think in today's edition of Nature, there's some fairly harsh words to the delegates at Doha that the political will has not matched the urgency of the problem and the actions that are needed. And time is really running out. We're beyond debates and conversations about whether it's going to be, you know, 1 degree or 2 degrees or 3 degrees. It's happening. It doesn't matter what you believe, it's happening, and urgent action is required now.
Paul Webley, he's Professor of Chemical Engineering at the University of Melbourne.